Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to you all. Welcome to anyone who is worshipping here and visiting us for the first time. Welcome to those who will be listening to the recording of this service and to our friends at Carr's Court. And a reminder that if you are here for the first time, we serve refreshments in the coffee lounge at the end of the service. Do make yourselves known to us. I have a few announcements. One or two things I've been asked to draw your attention to that are on the notices. The Bible questions study course started, so we had 1 week of that, but Katie says, don't worry about that. She's put some notes from the first session on the table in the foyer. So if anyone would like to join that group, the details are on the notices here. The circuit prayer group Heartbeat is meeting at Bramall on the 10th of July, and that's a group that prays for the needs of this circuit. You'll be very welcome on Tuesday evening the 10th. The circuit quiet day, Saturday the 14th of July at Gawsworth, be led by Louise Goff and Katie Thomas. Details are on the notices here. I mentioned last week the need for your support and continuing support for Foodlink to help feed children in Wilmslow who won't benefit from school meals as the school holidays approach. Thank you for your response this week. I hope we can continue to support this excellent cause. Just see if there's anything else I've got on. No, I think. Oh, Wilmslow Wells Gardens Day yesterday. So far, £14,500 has been raised. And wonderful effort. And one would hope that a bit more will come into that. So before I hand over to Praveen, and we welcome him once again to lead our worship this morning, the choir will sing an introit, which is a Nigerian praise song, I think arranged by Iona. Alleluia. Praise the Lord.
Good morning to you all, and a warm greeting and welcome from myself and from my church. And if you have seen me first time here, my name is Praveen. I worship in Lawtonmore Methodist Church. I visited Wilmslow several times, maybe twice, I think, if I'm right. So this is the third time. Good to be with you all after a long time. So let us pray and begin our worship. Let us pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we as your church gathered in your presence, waiting and longing and looking unto you. There are things in our life sometimes makes us feel uncomfortable. There are things in our life sometimes make us feel joyful. Yet we thank you in everything. Let all glory and honor and adoration be unto you. In Jesus' most holy name, we as your church ask this prayer, believing and hoping that you will do something about it. Amen. Let's begin our singing. First song for this day is taken from the Singing the Faith book, song number 347. crown him with many crowns. Song 347, crown him with many crowns. Let us pray. This time when we pray, we think about all the good things that is God has showered us upon us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come unto you. At this time, Lord, we give thanks for all the good deeds that you've been showering upon us. Thank you for your guidance throughout 6 months of this year. We have finished nearly half of the year. Thank you for your guidance. We also thank you for all the blessings that you have planned ahead for us in the coming years. We see them in faith and we thank you. We also thank you for all the children that bring us joy and happiness in our life. We also thank you for the wonderful stars and sun and moon and the wonderful nature which makes us to wonder and think and ponder about your creation and your imagination. We thank you for the love that you've been showering upon us. There are times in our life we went far away from you. There are times in our life we still sometimes do not even feel your presence, but yet you are there for us. We wanted to thank you for that. There are times in our life where people have failed to understand what we really feel inside our heart. But you are there, who searches our hearts and knows exactly how we feel inside. Thank you for your understanding over our life. We thank you for all silence that we pass through sometimes in our life. We give everything unto you. In Jesus' most precious name, we as your church thankfully say this prayer. Amen. This time I prepared something, an object lesson for us to learn today. And you can help me with it. It's for kids and it's also for grown-ups. So please feel free to participate if you can. So I've got some sheets and I've got some scissors with me. So I'm going to give you a challenge this morning. So I made this. Maybe I'll come closer to you. So I made this shape, or whatever you want to call a 3D shape, or and I stuck it to the paper. So I give you a challenge for you this morning. Now I've got sheets here, you can have a go. And the aim is to just achieve the shape, so you can have a go if you want. It's kids or grown-ups or adults. Okay, I've got scissors as well, so hopefully we will not have any problem with using it. Yeah. And again, if you want to join as a group, and you can do it as a group, or you can ask anybody's help if you want in this room to achieve this shape if you can. I've just got one scissor, sorry.
I'll check it as well, sorry.
So you can ask anybody's help, but the aim is to achieve this shape. So hopefully we will get some good shapes of this. Okay, you can take your time. We have plenty of time. So I'll hold it like this if you want to see. I got plenty more papers if you want. So it should be easy, I think. You can ask anybody's help. You can ask anybody's help in this room to achieve it. I have one more paper if you want. Okay. Sorry, I haven't got this SSC. Oh yes, thank you very much. We got plenty scissors as well now, so. Yeah, I've just sellotaped it to the paper. You don't need to do the typing. If you just can able to achieve it, it should be fine. And you can ask anybody's help in the church, in this room. Or you can form a group and do it, or. Or well, oh, yeah, yes.
Thank you.
So it should be like, yes, exactly. Yeah. So we don't have a split in the middle, I think. Yes. Okay. So if you want to stop it, we can stop it here, or if you want to have a try, you can have a try. I just used one sheet.
Is it off one sheet?
Yeah, just off one sheet, yeah.
Okay.
So should we stop? What do you think? Or should we go on? Yeah. Okay, the main aim of this object lesson is, I told you, if you want, you can ask anybody, help anyone from this room. And some of us have achieved this object shape, and some of us as haven't. But I gave you a clue saying that you can ask anybody from this room. So the easiest thing for us to, for you to do is just ask me, and I could have shown it to you straight away. Now that's what happens with our life sometimes, you know. We try to apply our knowledge. It's nothing wrong in applying our knowledge. Whenever we come to tackle any problem, we try to solve it on our own, and we try to kind of wrestle with it on our own. Sometimes we ask help with our friends and family. Sometimes we ask help with the person who's expert in that profession or field. But the easiest thing to do is, that's what it happens in the gospel reading later today. A man called Jairus, he encountered some problem in his life and he went straight to Jesus. So sometimes in our life, instead of we struggling with our own struggles, sometimes it's good to ask help to the Maker. You know, it's good sometimes to go to Jesus and ask Him for help. I know sometimes it's hard to do it, but I'm going to show you how easily you can do it. I just wanted to say thank you. Yeah, the easiest way to do is you just cut here and you just again make a cut here. Let me make this a little bit bigger. And you turn it again and you cut in the middle. And all you need to do is... So the easiest thing would have been for you and for all of us over here is just to ask me, and they would have told you straight away. So that's what happens sometimes in our life. You know, sometimes we fail to ask, access the resources exactly where it needs to be accessed. And the best resources that we can get for our life is actually from God. That's what I believe so. Because God is so great and is big. So with that thing in our mind, let us sing our next song, song number 61. A God is great, big. Our God is a great, big God.
Parts of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hands. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and He holds us in His hand. He's higher than a skyscraper, and He's deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe, and beyond my wildest dreams. and he knows me, and he loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Our God is a great big dog. Our God is a great big dog. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God.
Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his
hands. As the young members of our congregation leave to do their work, let us say a word of prayer for them. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we commit our young members of our congregation. We commit them unto you. Let them grow according to your will. Let the will of Jesus be fulfilled in their life. When they face any problems in their life, whenever they wanted to make any difficult decisions in their life, you be with them, help them, and help them to choose the right thing for their life. In Jesus' most precious name, we commit them unto you and ask this prayer. Amen. Thank you very much. Yeah, I can't go without this. My son will tell me off if not. Let us pray. This time when we pray, we take this as a time to confess our sins, and at the same time let us all believe that as God is gracious enough to forgive our sins, and not only forgive, also forgets. Let us pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we come unto you. At this time, O Lord, we confess our sins. The sins that we have done intentionally, and the sins that we have done unintentionally and unknowingly, we commit unto you. We ask for your forgiveness over the words that we have spoken or hurt someone, knowingly or unknowingly. Lord, help us to speak a word of hope over others. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for the time that we have failed to recognize your presence and your guidance in our life. We ask for your forgiveness. In a moment of silence, we confess our sins. Dear Father, thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, who shed the blood on the cross and took over all the sins of our life and bore over all the sins of our life. Lord Jesus, thank you for your Son Jesus Christ. Lord, at the same time, let not guilt rule our heart. Let not the guilt of the past, or let not the guilt of any sins, of any mistakes, let it not rule our heart. Help us to have a freedom life in Jesus. We commit everything unto you. In Jesus' most precious name, we as your church ask this prayer. Amen. We'll have our readings now. The first reading is from 2 Corinthians.
So, reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8, reading from verse 7. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, David. We'll sing our next song, Beauty for Brokenness, song number 693, and that will be followed by a gospel reading. Beauty for Brokenness, song number 693, if you're following the book.
Oh,
Our reading is Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered round him, and he was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all round to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all aside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was about 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. May God add his blessing to this reading.
Thank you. Today I've got a very straightforward message to you, and this morning if you're listening to me over the online or if you're listening to me from here, I got a very crystal clear message, and the topic of my message is, God is not delaying, he is dealing. God is not delaying, he is dealing. As I was reading through this passage, I don't want to focus today on the women, neither I do not want to focus on Jairus, but at the same time saying that I really wanted to focus what would have happened to Jairus inside him. So I just imagine myself being a Jairus, and I have just prepared something for you. So this morning, so again I'll repeat this, God is not delaying, he's dealing. Now most of the time in our life we think like this, you know, God is delaying. Now, sometimes God would have come, worked on this situation, you know, a little bit earlier. Sometimes we also think and wonder and why God is kind of, you know, taking his own time, why he's not acting straight away into it. Maybe Jairus would have thought the same, because he is being a synagogue leader and he came to Jesus. And if you go home and read this particular incident from Mark Gospel chapter 5 verse 21 onwards, you know, there's a very clear picture of Jairus. He is a great synagogue leader and he came to Jesus and he started to pleading. Imagine being a leader of a synagogue and all of a sudden something went wrong with his daughter and he goes to Jesus and he started to plead. In some translation it says he cried. In some translation it says he was begging. A leader begging for his daughter. And as he was asking Jesus and all the crowd, they started to move towards Jairus' house. And as they were moving towards Jairus' house, all of a sudden, from nowhere, a lady came and she touched Jesus. And immediately when she touched Jesus, she'd been healed from a disease. And I don't know how long will the whole of the scenario of the women touching Jesus and got healed would have happened. I don't know how long, maybe some few hours or maybe more than hour, I don't know. But whatever it might be, I was thinking to myself, how would have Jairus would have felt at that time? Possibly he would have become anxious because, you know, a daughter in a deathbed waiting for Jesus to come home soon and get healed. Possibly he might have been in a state of anxiousness, you know, why this woman is here? No, I was the first person to come to Jesus and ask him, and all of this sudden, this woman just creeped in and this is happening now. So Jairus would have felt like this is not fair. You know, sometimes in our life we do feel like that, this is not fair. Maybe as Jairus was staying there and watching over the women getting healed, he would have thought, Jesus, come on, no, it's getting late. No, we should go now. We should go now to my home because my daughter is in deathbed. Sometimes we do think like that. No, Jesus, come on, no, come now. Come do something about this. Do something straight away now. Exactly. Right now. Come here. Just all of a sudden, no? Maybe this kind of feeling would have, or maybe this kind of emotional imbalance would have just kind of gone into Jairus' mind. And as this was all happening and all of a sudden, few men from Jairus' house is coming to Jesus and they are telling Jairus, saying that, no, don't trouble Jesus anymore because your daughter is dead. Imagine if you are in a position of Jairus, if I am in a position of Jairus, how would I be reacted? We came to Jesus and we expecting Jesus to come straight away to our home and this woman jumped in and all of a sudden, now I'm getting a sad news from my home saying that my daughter is dead. How would we have felt? No? And the moment when Jairus has heard this sad news from his house, immediately a fear crept into his heart. That's what it says in verse 34. No, Jairus was afraid. And immediately when Jesus noted this, he said, do not be afraid, just believe. Do not be afraid, just believe. At the same time, Jairus would have thought, Jesus, it's you, because it could have come straight away. No, the moment when I came to you and the moment when I started to plead with you, the moment I'm a synagogue leader, I'm coming down from a position and I'm pleading with you and I'm asking you, if you recognize that moment and if it would have come to me straight away to my house, maybe my daughter would have not died. Maybe this was the thought maybe going in Jairus' mind at that time. Maybe sometimes in our life we also come across this kind of situation. You know, why God, why you're still silent and you're not doing anything about it? You know, sometimes we also come to in a position, why God, why are you still not working in my relationship? You know, it's been going on for a long time and you're still there and you're not doing anything. You know, sometimes in our life we too worry and get panicked and anxious about things that is happening across and in and around our life. And sometimes when we see the things that is happening in the world, it makes us to feel and wonder and think, is God delaying? Maybe if you are in this situation, this kind of mindset like Jairus, worried about something, maybe fear encroached upon you and makes you to think what will happen to you next. Or maybe you are in a state of Jairus, or maybe I am in a state of Jairus, the fear encroached upon me and I fear about my future, what will happen to me from here when I move forward. Will I be able to move? Or maybe lots of fear sometimes in our life encroaches upon us. Where will I go from here? We have come to a point of end. My daughter's life is end. Sometimes in our life we do come across this kind of point of end where we feel like the doors are closed, where we feel like we can't turn right or turn left, where we feel like we are trapped and we think God delayed. Maybe if you're thinking like that this morning, I have a good news for you is God is not delaying, He's dealing. What He was dealing with at that time, in my opinion, I think God was dealing with Jairus' faith. God was just dealing with Jairus' faith. Maybe he might be a synagogue leader, but still maybe he might be kind of a lack of faith in his life. Or maybe he might have a kind of little bit of understanding, not a greater understanding, but a very lesser understanding about Jesus. God was dealing with it. Maybe God was dealing with the patience of Jairus. You know, sometimes in our life, we do kind of lose our patience. Let's say, for example, if you're driving in a car and you are following the very strict lane, and all of a sudden a car pulls in front of you and makes you slow down. How will you feel? Maybe that's how Jairus has felt at that time. You might be feel annoyed. You might be feel irritated. No, I was doing the right thing, but still this woman came in front of me and she kind of slowed things down for me. Maybe Jairus would have felt like that. The moment he heard the sad news, the fear kind of crept over Jairus's. And again, Jesus said to Jairus, no, don't be afraid. No, don't be afraid. Let's go home. Let's see what's happening. And again, when they entered home, the scene in what happened in home was very dramatic. People were wailing, people were mourning, people were crying. You know, sometimes in our life, when we are going through a sadness in our life, sometimes when we are going through in our life in a difficult situation, sometimes we feel like our friends will be kind of more empathize with us and kind of sit down and listen to us. Sometimes we go to a friend and we share our difficulties and troubles. And to bad experience, you know, sometimes our friends, our families make things more difficult and hard for us. That's what happened here. You know, Jairus is controlled his emotions, thinking and believing that Jesus will something do about it, and they're journeying towards their house. And the moment when they reach the house, and the scene is very dramatic, and what's happening is everybody is crying, thinking the girl is dead. Maybe the girl life is finished. Bible very clearly tells she's only 12 years old. She's only 12 years. Maybe Jairus would have thought, I lived all my life without any problems and I'm old now, but it is time for me, for my girl to live her life. And she's very young, she's only 12, and all of a sudden she's dead now. And she, maybe Jairus would have thought in his mind, you know, this God is not unfair. But sometimes in our life we too think like this. This God whom I worship, whom I serve, whom I come to church and kind of sing for Him, do things for Him. Sometimes in our life we do think like this God is not fair. But if you are thinking like that, and if you are thinking God is delaying in your life, again I'm telling you, God is not delaying, He is dealing. The first thing God dealt with Jairus was his faith. Imagine he was, at one point he was witnessing a miracle that happened in the life of the women. And the moment when they came into the house, and the moment when Jesus entered into the house, the faith of Jairus was restored. Sometimes in our life, for things to happen, for us to see things to come into existence, we need to deal with our faith. And again, God is dealing with your faith. That's why sometimes you feel like it's getting delayed. He's not delaying, He's dealing with your faith. Sometimes in our life, we think like this kind of state of anxiousness creeps upon our life, anxious about what will happen next. As Jairus thought about what is next? You know, if my daughter died now, what is next? This is my only daughter. I loved her to the core. I loved her the most. I adored her the most. I gave everything that she wants. I did all the things that she needs. And now she's dead. And maybe Jairus would have become a state of anxious thinking that what is next. Maybe in our lives we also think like that. The anxiousness has encroached upon our heart, this anxiousness about the future, the anxiousness that we face in our relationship, the anxiousness that we face in our job. Will I be able to progress forward in my job? Will I be able to get promoted to the next level of my job? Will I be able to get promoted to the next level of my life? Will I be able to get promoted to the next level of a relationship? When we think about all these things, anxiousness or anxiety creep upon us. God was dealing with the anxious state of Jairus. God was not delaying, but he was dealing with the anxious state of Jairus. And when they now, they are in the home, and everybody was mourning. I imagine like this in myself, thinking maybe when people see, when Jairus would have witnessed people crying, maybe he would have felt really sad in his heart. Maybe he would have felt, maybe he would have not literally cried out loud as people were crying at that time. Maybe he would have felt really burdened in his heart. Maybe he would have cried really hard in his mind. Maybe he would have cried really hard in his heart. Sometimes, in your life, in my life, we too go through this kind of scenarios and situation where we won't literally cry in our eyes, but we might be crying inside our heart. God, why this? God, why this? God, why this? Maybe Jairus would have felt at that time. What was God dealing at that time with Jairus? God was not delaying. Again, he was dealing with the mourning nature of Jairus. He was dealing with the mourning nature of Jairus. Jesus is here. Jairus is there. The daughter is here. And everybody is mourning. God is saying, let go out. Give some space. The moment Jesus touched the daughter and hold her hand and took her, and Jesus said, Talitha kumi, it means, little girl, arise. The girl arise. Jairus thought Jesus delayed. Jairus thought Jesus failed. Maybe Jairus thought Jesus is not fair. Jairus thought maybe Jesus is not caring enough. He could have come a little bit early. He is delaying. Sometimes in our life, I don't know about you, I do feel like this. You could have come a little bit earlier, God. You could have worked a little bit more swiftly. Dear friends, I got a very crystal clear message to you again. God is not delaying in your life. God is not delaying with your prayer requests that you've been offering. God is not delaying with your prayers. God is not delaying with your anxiousness state. God is not delaying with your fear in your heart to heal it. God is dealing with it. What happened? That is very important. After all this dealing of faith and fear and mourning that happened in Jairus' life, what happened after Jairus? What happened to Jairus after God has been dealing? What exactly happened was this. God turned the pleading into a pleasure in Jairus' life. God turned his pleading. That's what it happened in the beginning of the passage. When he came to Jesus, he was pleading. He was not worried about what others might think. He was not worried about, I'm a synagogue leader, how can I kind of cry? He was not worried. All he was doing was, he was just pleading. God acknowledged his pleading by turning his pleading into a pleasure. I don't know this morning what you've been pleading for in your life. Whatever you've been pleading for, I don't know. Maybe you've been pleading for your children, or maybe you've been pleading for your grandchildren, or maybe you've been pleading for the issues that you face in your life. But I do believe this. God can turn your pleading and my pleading into pleasure. But only thing is, we have to give him time to deal with it. What happened to Jairus next? God turned his anxiousness into astonishment. I repeat it again. God turned his anxiousness into astonishment. If you go home and read this chapter, the end part finished like this in New King James Version and NIV Version. It says, the parents were astonished. Maybe this time in your life, maybe you're anxious about something. Give God to deal with it. And I believe for you, your anxiousness will be turned into astonishment. Wherever you felt anxious in your life, wherever you felt the anxious state of your mind, I believe if you give time to Jesus to deal with it, I believe that God will turn the anxiousness of your heart and your mind regarding your future or your job into an astonishment. What happened next to Jairus? God turned his fear into faith in Jesus. God turned the fearful state or the fearness in his heart into a faith to Jesus. That's what happened when he heard the sad news, when we heard the bad news. Sometimes in our life, when we hear sad news, when we hear bad news, when we feel like the loved ones of our life, when we lose them, the loved ones of our life, when we lost them, when they're gone away from us to be with God, this kind of fear kind of creeps into our hearts. This kind of fear. Sometimes it could be a fear of any person. Sometimes it could be a fear of our future. But whatever the fears are you're going through, I don't know. But I do know whatever fear you've been facing in your life, if you give God the time to deal with it, I do believe this for you and for me. God can turn your faith. God can turn your fear into faith. God can turn your fear into faith. The final thing, what exactly happened in Jairus' life? I really like this. The final thing, what exactly happened was in Jairus' life, not only the Jairus' life, but also for the whole family, what happened was God turned their mourning into joy. Maybe you've been mourning about something. Maybe you've been mourning about your job. Maybe you've been mourning about your future. Maybe you've been mourning about something bad happened, something sad happened in your life. Give this God Jesus to deal with it, and I do believe this for you and for me. He can turn your mournings and my mourning into joy. Dear friend, dear friends, dear brothers, dear sister, dear sir, dear madam, I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what's been happening in your life, but I do know, and I do bravely and humbly can say this with all faith in God. God is not delaying. Is dealing with your situations. God is not delaying, is dealing with your scenarios. God is not delaying, is dealing with the issues that you face every day in your life. And on top of all this, you might have given up on God, or I might sometimes in my life have given up on God. On top of all this, God has not given up on you. God has not given up on me. That's the amazing thing that I have felt. The greatest miracle that happened in this all of this passage was, it was not, I believe, in my opinion, it's not the woman getting healed or it's not the daughter getting raised, but I do believe the greatest miracle that happened in this passage is the life of Jairus was turned. His faith would have uplifted, his understanding about Jesus would have uplifted, and his knowledge about the way in which God moves would have changed. God is not delaying. He is dealing with you. Let us pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, there are times in our life that we feel like you are delaying. There are times in our life like, no, this sadness encroaches upon our heart and our mind and makes us feel wonder and ponder and think, where are you in the situations? Sometimes in our life, in which the way our life proceeds feels like it's no good anymore. It's nowhere to turn. There's no place to go. There's no one to care. But Lord, we do believe that you are there for us to guide us. And at the same time, as you guide, you also love us so much. Maybe in the times of our life, we may have given up on you, seeing various situations and scenarios of our life. But Lord, we believe and thank that you have not given up on us. Lord, at the same time, Lord, we pray for this world. There are lots of things that is happening in this world. Sometimes it makes us to feel, where is God in all the scenarios? Especially, Lord, we pray for those people who've been affected in the Moreland fires. And we also pray for all the firefighters, those who've been working hard to put down the fire. We think about all the families who are living around the areas. Lord, we believe that you will help and do something about it. Lord, we also pray for those people who are sick, those people who are depressed, those people who feel alone in their life, those people who've been neglected by the society and the community or their own family or their friends. We commit such and such people into your loving, gracious hand. In the moment of silence, we also think about all the deep sighs of our life and our heart and the prayers that we have offered. In a moment of silence, we think about it. Lord, we commit everything unto you. We pray unto you in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Let us share the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us have our offerings now. Dear Lord, as we offer this offering unto you, Lord, we ask for the blessings over the people, those who have offered. Those who have offered their time, those who have offered their heart, those who have offered their life. Help us to spend it wisely to build your kingdom. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' most precious name, we ask your church ask this prayer. Amen. We'll sing a final hymn, song number 351, if you're following the red book. In Christ alone my hope is found. You still have hope, and you're not alone. Christ is with you. In Christ alone my hope is found. Song number 351.
Oh,
Let us share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. Amen.